On a late flight from Pittsburgh to Wichita, several bottles of champagne were opened on Air Lake, and a small party began. The debate poll results were flowing in, each better than the last, and the mood was victorious. Lake hadn't banned alcohol on his Boeing, but he had discouraged it. If and when a member of his staff took a drink, it was always a quick one and always on the sly. But some moments called for a little celebration. He enjoyed two glasses of champagne himself. Only his closest people were present. He thanked them and congratulated them. And just for fun, they watched the highlights of the debate while another bottle was opened. They paused the video each time Governor Terry looked particularly puzzled, and the laughs grew louder. But the party was brief. Fatigue hit hard. These were people who'd been sleeping 5 hours a night for weeks. Most had slept even less the night before the debate. Lake himself was exhausted. He finished a third glass, the first time in many years he drunk that much, and settled into his massive leather recliner with a heavy quilt, body sprawled everywhere in the darkness of the cabin. He couldn't sleep. He seldom did on airplanes. There were too many things to think and worry about. It was impossible not to savor the victory in the debate, and as he kicked around under the quilt, Lake repeated his best lines of the night. He had been brilliant, something he'd never admit to anyone else. The nomination was his. He would be showcased at the convention. Then, for 4 months, he and the vice president would slug it out in the grandest of American traditions. He turned on the small overhead reading light. Someone else was reading down the aisle near the flight deck, another insomniac, with the only other light on in the cabin. People were actually snoring under their blankets, the sleep of hurried young people running on fumes. Lake opened his briefcase and pulled out a small leather folder filled with his personal correspondence cards. They were 4x6, heavy stock, off-white in color, and in light black Old English print, had the name of Aaron Lake printed at the top. With a thick, antique Mont Blanc pen, Lake scribbled a brief word to his college roommate, now a professor of Latin at a small college in Texas. He wrote a thank you to the moderator of the debate, and one to his Oregon coordinator. Lake loved Clancy novels. He just finished the latest one, the thickest yet, and he wrote the author a complimentary note. Sometimes his notes ran long, and for this reason he had plain cards, same size and color, but without his name. He looked around to make sure everyone was sound asleep, and he quickly wrote, "Dear Ricky, I think it's best if we end our correspondence. I wish you well with your rehab. Sincerely, Al." He addressed an unmarked envelope. The address of Aladdin North came from memory. Then he returned to his personalized cards and wrote a series of thank you notes to serious contributors. He wrote 20 of them before fatigue finally settled in. With the cards still in front of him and his reading light still on, he yielded to exhaustion and within minutes was napping. He'd slept less than an hour when panicked voices awakened him. Lights were on, people were moving, and there was smoke in the cabin. A buzzer of some sort was ringing loudly from the cockpit, and once he got his bearings, Lake realized the nose of the Boeing was pointed downward. Total panic set in quickly as the air masks dropped from above. After years of half-watching flight attendants give their routine demonstrations before takeoff, the damn masks were actually going to be used. Lake snapped his into place and inhaled mightily. The pilot announced they were making an emergency landing in St. Louis. The lights flickered, and someone actually screamed. Lake wanted to move about the cabin and reassure everyone, but the mask wouldn't move with him. In the section behind him were 24 reporters and about that many Secret Service people. Maybe the air masks didn't drop back there, he thought, then felt guilty. The smoke got thicker, and the lights faded. After the onset of panic, Lake managed a rational thought or two, if only for a brief second. He quickly gathered the correspondence cards and envelopes. The one to Ricky got his attention just long enough to place it in the envelope to Aladdin North. He sealed it and stuffed the folder back into his briefcase. The lights flickered again, then went out for good. The smoke burned their eyes and warmed their faces. The plane was descending at a rapid pace. Warning bells and sirens shrieked from the flight deck. "This can't be happening," Lake told himself as he gripped his armrests. "I'm about to be elected President of the United States." He thought of Rocky Marciano, Buddy Holly, Otis Redding, Thurman Munson, Senator Tower of Texas, Mickey Leyland from Houston, a friend of his, and JFK Jr. and Ron Brown.